What's up, Southwest? I'm your co-host, Grayson Lovett, and I'm so excited to have you back for another episode of the Game and Forward podcast. Today, I'm joined by lovely designers,
Jenna Ray,
and Maddie,
and Callie.
And today, we really, really wanted to talk about storytelling in games. There's a really interesting game that comes to mind called Who's Lila? It's a game where pretty much three quarters of the screen are normal RPG, except it has like weird graphical elements. And then the last section of the screen is this face. And the whole plot of the game normally is that you play as this character who cannot make facial expressions. So you have to physically use your mouse to click and drag the face into certain facial expressions to react to what's going on around you. That influences how the story develops. And it's a big mystery. And then the face on the side of the screen that is your player character starts to like tort in really weird ways. And it's a really interesting way to make the player feel unsettled.
Yeah, and like on the topic of Who's Lila, it also has like a lot of other elements that really do incorporate player choice, which I really do enjoy. It like it's very complex as a story and as a game.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Another game that does this really, really well that I'm a big fan of is Doki Doki Literature Club, which was popular a couple of years ago. But Doki Doki starts out as a normal, like, fluffy Japanese dating simulator. And then throughout the course of the game, things start to get a little weird, which I'm trying my best not to spoil. But you have to physically go into your computer's files and delete character files to delete them from the story of the game, which is amazing.
I think Doki Doki is one of my personal favorites, genuinely. Like,
oh, you're such a nerd.
Okay. Like, it's one of my favorites because there's so much to it. Like you just said, it's a dating sim, but, like, there's so many, like, different routes you can take. And, like, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but, like, the poetry that you're reading, the poetry that you basically are making, like, in, like, little mini games, it's super interesting because when you read them, they're, like, there's clues and stuff in them. Like, there's, like, hidden messages. Like, we know about certain endings if you read, and it's so and it's super exciting because, like, I love how the storyline connects you, like, the MC with all the characters. So it's not just, like, oh, I'm here in this literature club. Slay, love that. But, like, now it's, like, you're part of it. And it really, like, ties into the fact that it's, like, there's so much more than just, like, here's a bunch of girls who like me. It's, like, they each have their own storyline that you learn through their poems and the way they talk. I love it. Sorry.
Okay, I have no idea what you guys are talking about because I'm not a nerd. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not chasing anime girls, okay? I'm a little horror nerd.
Oh, my God, that's
And so I know weird. We had a discussion if it was, like, Who's or where's what's her name?
Lila.
But I've never heard of both of those. But I know
I've not lived, Kelly.
Okay, I have lived. Well, I've lived in the real world.
Doki Doki is like a version of horror. Like it has
these
like,
are
the
both
element.
Horror games.
No, it's just depressing.
Whoa, that's
I know,
terrifying.
I know I really want to play the Where's Lila, but I haven't yet because I have a life. Just
wow.
kidding, guys.
Wow.
Deep blow, honestly.
But I definitely agree that storytelling games just hit different. I know there's a lot of horror games I play with storytelling.
Which ones? Like, which one specifically, you think?
The Last of Us.
Yeah.
That story hits different, guys. Sorry. There's some shame there. I see it in your
shame. I thought you were going to say some like indie horror psychological stuff going on. Like,
yeah, a triple.
Did I put you on the spot?
A triple A game with a story.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, you guys put me on the spot a little bit there. I don't know.
Listen, you taught us how to do this.
The Last of Us is great. I think it's awesome when a game has such a strong narrative that it can be turned into its own TV show. Because The Last of Us show is genuinely really great, and I had no idea it would be because I didn't play the game. But games are not known for their storytelling elements, but The Last of Us had the sauce. You know what I mean?
The sauce. But you need to play it, man.
Yeah.
How do you know? No, I'm just kidding.
I need to. It got ported to PC, so.
Don't play the PC.
I know.
Are you not supposed to play it by PC?
It's so imported cool. It terribly. It runs worse than Cyberpunk.
We need to stop talking about it.
I mean, I'm a console girly, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I play a lot of games that don't have stories, and it doesn't hit the same because you get bored. Like Dead by Daylight, I was really obsessed with that game for a while, and I can only play it with friends now because it just has no story. There's no development. You do the same thing over and over again. You just upgrade your characters.
I think games without story are really interesting because it focuses a lot on the gameplay, which is like, because if you can sink a lot of time into a story game, but there's only so much story. Whereas an online multiplayer game like Dead by Daylight, you can sink hundreds of hours into that game, and that's what it's meant for. It's meant to keep you playing. But a story game is it's a one and done. You know what I mean?
But I think, hey, man. Sorry.
No,
you can go on.
No.
Oh, I was about to say, but like, I think we're also forgetting about like games that don't inherently have a story, but we could create a story out of the world building. Like Ark Survival, or people also like Minecraft, for example. They try to build their own story out of it. And that's what I think is so great about games like that, because you're able to use the game as a vehicle, and it is a medium that a lot of people overlook, even if it has a game or a story or it doesn't. It's just really impactful, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. A little story time. When I first started playing Ark, I like joined a random server, and it was like a role-playing server, and I was so nice. Freaked out. I was like, what is happening? I just want to get a dinosaur, guys.
Dang. First time I played Ark, I loaded in with my friend on a beach, and we got punched to death and then put in cages. So we didn't play on that server anymore. But yeah, Ark is very, very interesting storytelling-wise. Because it likes to... Ark throws you in the world, and it doesn't tell you what's going on, but you got to figure it out. You have just this normal world with dinosaurs and stuff. But there's also really weird things that should not be happening if it was really just like a dinosaur survival game. Like, you obviously have the giant monolith things where all the boss fights are. Mm-hmm. Now, I was not there when the dinosaurs were around, but I don't think they had boss fights.
How do you know? Really? I thought you were there, honestly.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think there's a best of both worlds. I was also thinking about Genshin. I played it for like 2 weeks, guys. Don't gaslight me. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm not a Genshin player.
Okay, buddy.
Sorry, Val.
That was judgy.
Guys, you're too busy chasing anime girls.
This isn't a safe place.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know how storytelling is in Genshin. That's I've not played Genshin, so don't ask me.
I like all hate them, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I think one other thing we should talk about, we kinda mentioned it earlier, and I kinda wanna come back because I wanna be included in this. I haven't played these games, guys. But like the horror games.
The horror games.
We've talked about psychological horror, analog horror, like it's more, there's graphics a lot with those, but I think we also should mention how cool those stories are.
Mm-hmm.
Analog horrors.
Analog horrors and our ARGs.
Oh, so I want to go back because that reminded me. Yeah, we're going back again. That reminded me of something Grayson said about how stories, there's no development past like their original story.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the Spider-Man like storyline. There's a storyline, there's the original storyline, but you can keep on building after you finish the original storyline.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the original Amazing Spider-Man game, like the tie-in movie one?
Yeah, or the Insomniac Spider-Man.
Oh my god, you're just...
I wish I knew. I would love to know.
The original.
I'm going to look this up later.
Dang.
One with Black Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Interesting.
Okay, we're moving on now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hold on. I wanna know how exactly they built the story after it was over.
So there's the main storyline, like, oh, you gotta find MJ and you gotta beat like the main bosses, but there's also like the side quests, like little things, which isn't so much like adding to the storyline, but it's just extra things to do, like you get to learn about some old lady with her cats that keeps on losing them.
Yeah.
And it's just extra story.
Extra story. Yeah. Side quests are amazing. I love side quests. It's so easy to add world building to a game with side quests instead of just shoving a bunch of random NPCs in there that don't really do anything. Actually, speaking of superhero games with side quests, Batman Arkham Knight does side quests so well. If you're not familiar, I'm going to spoil it a little bit. The plot of Batman Arkham Knight is that he has to defeat all of the villains within one single night. So the entire game takes place at night, and it's like a 20-hour game. Anyways, but pretty much you do the main story, which has you saving the city. And then after you're done with the main story, in order to end the game, all of the side quests are you just chasing down a separate villain for Batman's past. And there's a couple DLC ones too. But it's so cool that you can literally just like pick up a mission that's like, oh, go and find this clue that will eventually lead you to a boss fight. And so after you've done all the boss fights, then you can get the real ending of the game, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, I really like games like that. Grayson knows this horror game that I'm obsessed with right
back
now.
Back to horror games, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's Fear and Hunger, which you get to go out and have like multiple side quests throughout the game, and it doesn't really seem like that unless you have, because it has the RPG element, which is very common in RPG Maker games where you have like the fight, runaway feature, items, and stuff like that. You have to actively go out to talk to characters to get side quests, which is really fun, and you're able to go and get like secret endings and stuff by completing these side quests, which I really do like love seeing in games because it helps with the replayability aspect. Like, you could play these games and get lost over and over and over again.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great aspects to storytelling games. We have side quests, we got an actual story, we have all these little elements. But to wrap this up, why don't we ask the question, storyline games or non-storyline games?
I'll say storyline games for sure. Yeah.
I'm neurodivergent. I can't pay attention. I have to play multiplayer games or I speed through a storyline game and then watch a recap later.
I'm full send, like, storyline games. I love them so much.
I feel Grayson on this one.
I'm sort of split.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, why don't you wrap this up, Grayson?
Yeah, so that's the ending of our episode. You can find the more episodes on the Southwest Shadow website, and we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.